Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Rockefeller's on the spot.
Man, that's him right there. In that G35, man.
Wearing a retro?
That shit is tight.
$430, it better be.
Hell yeah. I'm going to get me one of those motherfuckers.
You must going to get that Muxie Bowls then. No mini-me ass going to be swimming in that sale.
As usual, man, y'all fools are missing my point. That boy came up short on that money last week, and y'all see y'all here grinding. So where that money at?
You need to look beyond what he driving and wearing on his back. That boy got a girlfriend?
He run with this little freak up at the high school.
She wearing ice?
She wearing an onion. That's about all I can remember.
Hell yeah.
Yo, check out the girl. High school girl with platinum around her neck. Only one place it came from.
Give my man this thing. Big sour. That ain't no Larkin, dog.
I'm used to revolvers, man. 38 don't jam.
Don't hold 15 neither.
Game done changed.
Game the same. Just got more feds.
How'd it go?
We got one out of two of the motherfuckers, you know?
You mean you motherfuckers come strolling in here all walking tall and shit?
Yo, B.I., man, I'm saying, man, we was blazing on them dudes, man, you know what I'm saying? Just got in the heat, man. We was blazing, though. It was late.
All right, relax, man. I already heard. Go sit down. I'm not tweaking behind none of this. That's one less motherfucker that's breathing than was yesterday, you know what I'm saying? So we all good. But I'm surprised at you, though, man. Shit didn't get by you back when.
Well, my man's fault, man. I unloaded on the younger too soon, man. Gave him enough room to buck and run, man. I fucked that shit up myself, you know.
Hold on. It's on me. I had that kid in my sights. Close enough to take off his Kango and half his dome with it. Couldn't squeeze the trigger. Couldn't do it, man.
Why not?
Wasn't in me, I guess. You know, whatever it is in you that lets you flow like you flow and do that thing, it ain't in me no more.
All right. So you done soldiering, but you ain't done. Could use you for what you got in your head. We're going to put you on a corner. You could be inside.
Oh, man. I ain't making myself clear. The game ain't in me no more. None of it.
But you ain't done shit else. You know what I'm saying? So what you going to do?
But it can't be this.
All right, then. We straight.
Man in his time, you know?
Yeah. He a man today. He a man.
Now learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway. And it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it. And said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it, just go ahead. So he kept walking. And he messed around, he saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he said, no, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
All right. It's Memorial Day. Got a light day around here today. A topic, a lead-off topic. Talk about anything you guys want to talk about. If we don't want to talk, then we'll end it early. But landlord, host, or hack. Landlord, host, or hack. Those are three distinctions when it comes to property. A landlord, we all basically know what that is, somebody that gets a piece of property and rents it out to somebody else. The person who does that is typically called a landlord. Now, with Airbnb, somebody else might be the landlord. You set up everything with Airbnb dealing with that property, and you become a host. And a host is more attentive than a landlord. You know, they're making sure that you have, you know, shampoo, conditioners, hair dryers, kitchens. Host to host. You know, they're making sure that you have a very pleasurable experience, whereas a landlord, where's the first month's last month's security deposit? Here are the keys. See in 29 days. Whereas, like, and the occupant with a landlord, they're dealing with renters and or tenants. Now, take the same property and let's morph it into an Airbnb system. Then you're a host and you have guests. Landlords have renters or tenants. Hosts have guests. Airbnb, Vrbo, or any platform like that. They it's host and guest. And then, and typically also, the landlord is dealing with a long-term occupant, whereas a host, Airbnb, Vrbo, whatever have you, they're dealing with a short-term guest, you know, 2 days, 3 days, maybe a week or two, maybe even a month or so, but they're short-term. Then there's hacker. Now, a hacker, or more appropriately, a house hacker, if somebody to look at your house and see what untapped sources or what hidden revenues that you have within your house that you have not recognized and utilized to generate cash flow. We opened the door last Friday when Mr. Conrad was in, and for instance, if you have empty space in your backyard, you can rent that space out. Now, you can rent it out to somebody who already has their own tent or camping equipment, or you can buy a tent or camping equipment and put it in the back, post it up online, and like Airbnb, and rent it out. Matter of fact, let me. There are people that are renting out closets. If you have empty closet space, there are people that are renting out closet space in their homes for monthly income. What about your dining room? You know, maybe somebody needs a place to hold a dinner party or whatever. And you've already got a dining room set, you know, with the fine china and the tables and the chairs and all this. You know, maybe, you know, there's somebody out there looking for a kitchen. There are people that rent out their kitchen. So this week, last week was all Airbnb. We did an Airbnb week. So we'll call last week Airbnb. We did 5 days in a row. Airbnb week part one. So today is the start of Airbnb week number two. Week number two, and each day we're going to cover some aspect of Airbnb where you can make some money. So like I say, the three basic distinctions are landlord, that's somebody who owns or controls a piece of rental property for typically on a long-term basis, to a long-term renter, to a long-term occupant who is referred to either as a renter or a tenant. All right, they basically make sure that as you rent it out, as they lease it out brand new, I mean, well, ready for you know, it's all being renovated, that everything's in working condition. All right, now, anything that needs repair, they come to the landlord to get it fixed. Now, the same property, but if we put it under Airbnb system, short-term rental system, Vrbo, and short-term rentals existed way before Airbnb or Vrbo was even a thought. So a short-term rental could be a couple of days, a week, 2 weeks, maybe a month, maybe 3 months, but it's a short-term stay. And now we're dealing with, instead of being a landlord, now you're a host. Hosts can make more money in a shorter period of time than a landlord. However, the stress factor is a little bit higher because with a host, you know, like, so you might have two guests in a week. So when one guest leaves, you have to prepare for the next guest. And cleanliness comes number, you know, you change the sheets, vacuum, and all this, that, or other. So you're a host, and whereas a landlord doesn't supply his tenants or his renters with soap, shampoo, and all this, a host would supply his guests with some of those things. There's nothing hard in stone, but typically hosts give more services to guests, of course, but the guest typically pays higher than a stationary long-term tenant or renter. And the third thing, distinction rather, is a house hacker. What is a house hacker? A house hacker can look at your house, your apartment, condo, whatever you have, and look at, okay, wait a minute, they can recognize where you can make money within that house or apartment or condo and essentially where you can make money Like if you have empty closet spaces, there are people that are renting out their closet space that they're not using for monthly passive income. If you have a couch, there's a whole website called Couchsurfing, and it's global. 14 million members on Couchsurfing. And these are people looking for affordable accommodations to, still spend the money at a hotel, motel, or Holiday Inn. They Couchsurf. I ran across an article over this past weekend where there's a guy, he earns $1,000 a month renting out his couch. $1,000 a month renting out his couch. Okay. Backyard, you got a backyard or using it. Even if you don't have a backyard, do you have friends and or relatives who do have a backyard? Well, you can rent that out to people who might live by the BYOT lifestyle. And BYOT stands for bring your own tent. So you can have somebody you don't have a backyard, but you might have a friend or a neighbor that is willing, they're looking to pick up some extra money as a side hustle. So you said, look, let's come up with something where I get the person to rent out your backyard and, we'll split it 50-50 or whatever you want, 70-30 or 60-40, whatever you want. So the people renting out their backyards, they're renting out tents, they're renting out spaces for tents. There are people that need parking. Maybe you have a piece of property and you have a driveway, a carport or something, and it's just sitting vacant for the time being. There are people with RVs or cars or boats that will be willing to pay you $200, $300, $400, maybe $500 a month rent to rent that out. So if you're looking for, and that's what house hackers do. House hackers take a look at what you have, what you're not utilizing, and how to turn that into cash flow. All right. So, and we're going to go into more detail, particularly on hosting and house hacking this week. Now, if you, Airbnb is a good site where you can pick up, matter of fact, let me see. Airbnb has over 50 or 60 categories on how to make money with different types of housing. But if we let's go to any search engine and put in rent, here are the keywords, rent out closet space. Rent out closet space. Type that into any search engine and then tell us what you come up with. Let's see. Okay, here we go. One article from Bloomberg on Bloomberg.com says, rent out your closet with an Airbnb for storage. So this goes with an app, and I recommend you download this app. Conrad recommended this last Friday, called Neighbor. Airbnb for America's extra pep is here. A startup called Neighbor builds itself as an Airbnb for storage, allowing hosts to rent out their empty sheds, closets, and basements for other people's stuff. So if you've got an empty shed in your, you know what, even if you got a backyard with no shed in it, I would suggest either learn how to build your own shed or buy a shed, El Cheapo. Make sure it's secure, though, and put it in your backyard. Or if you got a friend or a neighbor who has a backyard with no shed in it, and is looking for a easy side hustle. But so with this, people are, if you have an empty shed, if you have an empty closet within your home, or you have a basement that's sitting empty, almost empty, okay, You can turn that into passive income. Let's see. Here's an article that says, Khalid's self-storage side hustle started small. 10 months ago, he started renting out a few nooks and crannies inside of the apartment he leased while a student at Brigham Young University. Along with the extra parking space that came with the rent, to do this, Khalid used an app called Neighbor, which connects people who have extra space to spare with people that need to stash things, all right? So far, the app has helped him enter the rental relationships with 21 tenants. And he's got a combination of people who want to store RVs with him, automobiles, bikes, sweaters, and other random items on a month-to-month basis in his 8 listings. Let's see. Okay. And I'm going to post this on a Facebook page, which is a DIY Housing TV. I'm going to post this up here now. So you don't have to own a house. You just need to be in a place where you have empty space that you're not using. Or you can, partner up with people who do have the empty space. What if you got like an acre of land or even a half acre or a quarter acre of land and you buy yourself a shipping container where you can store, quite a bit? Let's see. Now, all right. Now, here's from the Penny Hoarder. The Penny Hoarder, and that's pennyhoarder.com. Put in any search engine how to rent out closet space for cash. So let's click on that article and read about it. When it comes to making extra money, I'm a huge fan of squeezing cash out of everything. And these are all house hacks. This is hacking, okay, house hacking. One of the most underutilized resources of us that many of us have is our house. A house doesn't have to be a place to live, but it can also be a cash generator. Many people offer advice on how to become a landlord and rent out part of the home to a tenant. That might be a great way to make extra money. But if you're uncomfortable adding permanent roommate, here are a few options. Okay, I previously covered renting out your backyard to campers. Okay, and I'm going to come back to that one in a moment. There's a website called storeatmyhouse.com. That's store, S-T-O-R-E, at A-T, my house, storeatmyhouse.com. Check that out. Let's see. Okay, let's see. Renting your backyard out to campers. Because there's some people that their house is in their backpack. And this is from an article, 5 Weird Ways to Make Extra Cash with Your Home. All right, so number one, it says rent out your closets, your attics, storage spaces already within your home. That's number one. Let's see. 2, rent out your backyard to campers. All right. And like I say, a lot of people have a tent within their backpack now. I don't like number 3, refinance. I don't, because that's borrowing money. Number 4, host a foreign exchange student from 6 weeks to 6 months at a time. I like that. You know what I like foreign exchange students? Because, number one, they don't know the system over here in the United States on how to get you screwed. They don't know the court system. They're just looking to have the American experience, and they're looking for something inexpensive. So I like the idea of foreign exchange students. I like that idea. Let's see. Or do you have a driveway or a parking spot? You can rent that out too. So this is from the Penny Hoarder, pennyhoarder.com, and I'm going to post that on our Facebook page, which is DIY Housing TV, when I just posted it. And, of course, you can go on YouTube. So you know what? I think the easiest way to get in Brown Island Closet, one of the easiest ways to get into the real estate game or housing game is rent out a closet, rent out a backyard, rent out a driveway. These are all house hacks. Now imagine, okay, let's do the math, the arithmetic on this. If, let's say you rented out something and you're only getting like $50 a month. Depends on what you're renting out. So if you did that 100 times, you make $5,000 a month. So imagine just go around looking for closets that you can probably make $50 a month off of. Now let's say you have a carport or a driveway or a parking space in the rear of your house or something like that, that you can rent that out for $400 a month. And let's say you did that 100 times. See, that's where you get some traction. Wash, rinse, and repeat. Take something simple that, you know, that you can make money on that is not going to cost people an arm and a leg or whatever. If you might not have, let's say you just got one driveway or one carport or one parking area. All right, think, and you got $400 off that. But if you did it 100 times, you would make $40,000 a month. Then that's when you start looking at friends who have underutilized assets. A backyard is an untapped asset. A carport is an untapped asset if nobody's using it. A driveway is an untapped asset if nobody's using it. Look for, once again, somebody who's got space that they're not utilizing it. That's the house hacking mind. So for the opportunity, so for instance, let's say you needed $40,000 for whatever reason. All right. Once again, find something that you can make $400 off of, that you can clear it $400. And then, like, so you might have to partner up with a few people. But if you partner up or manage to get some other spaces and you can average $400 a month, 400 times 100 equals $40,000 a month gross revenue. Let's see. Now, dining room. Put in any search engine, dining room. Okay. Now, there are people that would like to give dinner parties. There's a spot on Airbnb where you can do that. You might have the dining room already, so you got the space. And let's say you got the tablecloths, you got the fine china, you have all that ready, but, you know, let's say you only use it twice a year, Thanksgiving and Christmas, maybe Easter, all right? You only use it maybe three times a year. I'm sitting down where I'm at right now looking at a dining room set that I've never seen used. The last time it was used was over 33 years ago. I know what to do with it now. I'm glad I didn't sell a stitch of it because I thought about it, you know, but I'm not going to sell nothing. I'm not using the space, but the house is in a great location, and I can rent out the dining room to them for people that want to do dinner parties or things of that nature. And I got a kitchen right next to it. And I'll rent that to them, too. So, and then you can put this on Airbnb as well. So, put it this way. House hacking, and that's what we're doing this week, is Airbnb week number 2. Because we're taking ideas that were given out by Conrad on Friday, and then we're highlighting something every day of a week like we did last week. Now, we'll have a guest on Friday to add on to it. So, and that's house hacking. So you can become a house hacker and actually make more money doing house hacking than you can being a landlord, or you can be a combination of all three. You can be a landlord, you can be a host, or you can be, you know, and then you're going to have to get partners along the way. But hey, you'll be sharing the pie, and it'll be a big pie, so you'll be making more together with other people than you could be making it, you know, alone. So essentially, that's my rant for today. Like I said, you can get a lot of terrific ideas off of Airbnb and YouTube. There are people out here that are renting out pools, swimming pools, matter of fact, let me see. Pools, rooms. The people that are renting out islands on Airbnb. Countryside estates they're renting out. A-frame cabins, mansions, cabins, beachfront properties. Like I said, they've got over 50 or 60 categories. On here. And the things like we mentioned it last week, you know, there's a young lady in Wilson on our Facebook page. You know, she's, what, 28 years old? Whatever age she's at. Some $300 a tent. She's $28 a year off of a tent that she bought for $300. That's you know, for her, I don't know if that's a side hustle or for some people, $28,000, that's their paycheck for the whole year. Okay. So, all right, well, there's another category on here, lakefront play. They got some really innovative things on here on Airbnb. Somebody's got a basketball court. So if you stay five nights, they're renting out this place in the woods, and they got off-grid locations too. For $1,609 for these 5 nights, you're out in a wooded, quiet, wooded area, and they've got a half court. Not even a half court. But it's a good recreational setup. I'm putting Sterling by this one. Because that gives me an idea of what I can do with my 4 acres. It's a luxury mountain paradise. It has a garden, pool, basketball court. It can house up to 16 guests. I like this. 16 guests. You can make, you know what? Talk about weekend hustle money. All right, 16 guests is $1,609. So this person has got 4 bedrooms with 8 beds and 2 baths. So they can do just, you know, this is only limited to your imagination. $1,609. If they just did weekends, they're making over $6,000 just doing weekends off this one property. Now imagine, okay, do that in a year, that's $77,000 a year, $77,232 just doing weekends if you have a setup like this. Now, if you did that, here we go with that 100, because everybody can count to 100. Now, once again, you might have to have some partners. But you and your partner or partners, you know, the pie that you'll be splitting up is $7,723,200 a year. If you did that 100 times. Now, we talked about renting out a couch. Now, for those of you who are in the listening audience, if you can help me out here for a moment, go to Facebook. Go to Facebook Marketplace. And I want you to find 2 articles for me. Depends who's out there listening. I want you to find me a couch or a sofa, same thing. Tell me what the couches and the sofas are going for in your particular neck of the woods. And the other thing I want you to look up is a futon. It was like a pull-out bed from a couch, a futon. How much are they going for? Because, matter of fact, let me look in my neck of the woods right now. Let's see, Marketplace. All right, let's... I'm looking for a futon. Okay. All right. I don't know why I got this thing set for Chicago. All right. Anyway, let me deal with what I got. Here's one. I don't like it, but it's $20. Here's another one for $20. Here's another one, and these are used, by the way, $70. Here's another one for $75. I see another one for $60, $50. Now, I want something that'll be, I don't want nothing with cloth on it, made from cloth or suede. Here's one for $150, another one for $60, another one for $70, another one for $125. People, these are money makers. Here's another one for $75, another one for $50. Now, here's one for $25. Another one for $50. I don't like the one for $50. It's got 12 on it. 50, 50, 40, 60. Futon frame, $20. Here's another one for $30, but it's got cloth on it. I would have to change the fabric. I want something that you can spill liquid on it, spill food on it. and you can just wipe it off. That's the kind you want. Here's one. It's a long one for $65. One for $85, $70. Okay. Here's one for $200. Now let's look for those. Once again, those are couches that can convert into beds. Now let's just look up for a straight up couch. And I'm on Facebook Marketplace. And let's see. Now, these are like love seats, but $250, $90, $95. $200, but it's got cloth on it. I want nothing but cloth on it or suede. Oh, here's a big one, but $150 for a brown leather couch. They just want to get rid of that. But you can spill stuff on this, you'll be good. All right. So it's there to get. I mean, Facebook Marketplace, that's where I'm looking now. But you can look on Craigslist as well. Now let's look for tents. Okay. Here's one for $85, another one for $85, $40, $50, $159, $149, $100 even, $75, $120. Like I said, she took a tent and turned it into $28,000. Let's see. Waterproof camping. Dome tents. Here's one for $25. Let's see, for $115 here's a family dome, the family cabin dome. Or you can rent a tent. $110.56. So anyway, there's throw these up in your backyard, and or you can do the BYOT, bring your own tent. You just supply the space. Okay. Now they have like campers here. Like I say, it's only limited to your imagination of what you can do. All right. Now, Airbnb started out with air mattresses. So let's see what air mattresses. Two guys started that, and now they're billionaires. So. Here's an air mattress I'm looking at on here, $25, another one for $20. Let's see. The queen size air mattress, $50. Let's see, air mattresses, $60. $35 queen air mattresses. Here's another one for $40. $40, $30, $20, $25 air mattresses. So the guys with Airbnb, they were behind on their mortgage, or not mortgage, but they were behind on their rent payment in the apartment that we're living in. But they're a house hack. They work with, and here's something to live by. And I guess the story of David and Goliath illustrates this too, but whatever amount of money that you need, believe it or not, although you might not be, your mind hasn't seen it yet, but it's there. Everything you need to get that miracle, financial miracle, you already, You're surrounded by it already. You just have to start where you are, use what you have. If a backyard is all you have, that's all you need to start to meet to get that miracle that you might need. Start where you are, use what you have, do what you can, and the universe will take care of the rest. So if all you got is an empty backyard, that's all you need to get started. If all you've got $20 to $30 or $50 to get that tent off of Facebook Marketplace or Walmart, then go ahead and buy it. Start where you are, use what you have, and do what you can with what you have. And once you do that, the next step or steps will reveal themselves to you. So just like in 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7, the lady's husband had died. Creditors knocked on the door and said, look, if you can't settle this debt, then we have to take your two sons as slaves so they can work off the debt. So she said, well, give me a little bit of time. So she got together with her two sons and started a family business. They collected empty vessels from their neighbors. They eventually they got the debt paid off and they lived off the rest of it. But what's the recipe here? It's a recipe. Start where they are. They started where they are. You do the same. You start where you are. What do you have? You have an empty backyard? Maybe we don't have an empty backyard. Do you have an empty closet? If all you got is one empty closet in your house, or maybe you can make it empty and use it as storage for somebody else, start right there. If you only got $20 or $30 in your pocket, go on Facebook Marketplace and see what you can buy on the cheap and start with that by renting that out. It might be a $20 tent. It might be a $20 futon. Who knows? Use what you have and then do what you can. And just keep on doing that and you'll be all right. Anyway, let's see, there's a $35 air mattress on here, $25 air mattress, a $40 Sleep Lux queen size air mattress. There's Dura Beam Plus air mattresses on here. I see something here as low as $10. Let's see. But the three guys are originally two, but three, as they call it now with the founders. They took three air mattresses and became billionaires. Can't get no simpler than that. And they weren't trying to make a big. They were just trying to, make up their, get the rent caught up. So so adopt the house hacking mindset. That's taking a look at something that's empty, not utilized. Or like I said, if you got clothes in the closet, empty the closet and make room do what they need to do. Okay. Open phone line 619-768-2945. That's the number to call in. Anything you guys want to talk about, doesn't have to be house hacking on this Memorial Day. Somebody asked me, I don't take I take weekends off. It's pretty soon. We'll probably be doing 6 days a week. But to me, today is Monday, and I'll be binge-watching Netflix later on today. I'm working on Shameless at the moment. I don't know if you guys seen Shameless on Netflix. They name that program right. I mean, there's something Shameless done on that program every single episode. Anyway, 773 is open.
Grand Rising. How are you?
Grand Rising. I'm fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, did Mama ever call you?
I see you. I saw you out in your bathing suit chilling at your brother's wedding.
That was in Pennsylvania. Yeah, my sister and I were in the whirlpool, and so she got in the pool, but we got in the whirlpool, the heated whirlpool together.
Okay.
That was really nice. We had some sister talking, so she took the picture.
Okay.
Yeah, it was really relaxing.
You know, my grandmother didn't look like that when I was coming up.
Yeah, I'm still kind of shocked that I'm a grandmother, but my heart is attached to my grandson. I'm still shocked, but thank you for the compliment.
They didn't make grandmas like that 50, 60 years. They don't really like to make a lot of them like that today.
Yeah, according to
what's on your mind, Rita?
They do say Missy Elliott looks young. Say we got some kind of reverse aging something going on. I think it's our energy, first of all, you know, having a good spirit. You know, a lot of the young people, like in their 30s, they look worn out, you know, and, you know, from the drinking and things like that, you know, they say, you know, I guess say living a fast life. But certainly, I want to encourage you know, the young people to find some peace. Okay, Mama Evelyn says she's on the call. It's great. So I don't know if you got a chance to, because I was actually trying to change the batteries in this phone. I'm trying to be frugal, but I'm going to certainly. So I'm working. I'm accountable. I got to get a new phone. Any donations for a new phone? Oh, I need a van, too. So since we have an open topic, open discussion, the Black Youth Metropolis and Inner City Youth Foundation, which I'm starting the Inner City Youth Foundation up, but the Black Youth Metropolis had our first fundraiser in February. So we need a van. I junked the old van that I was using to transport the young people. This past year I had young people doing moving jobs, and that was the same crew that was work with the Tiny Solar mobile cabin. So a few of them are working, but I've got some young people that I'll be actually having to call in that have a different spirit, you know, and certainly all of the young people need, you know, guidance and the resources, because they'll move. You know, a lot of times people say, well, these young people don't listen. It's not what you do, it's how you do it. So the approach is important.
Now, how much do you need for that van?
For the what?
How much do you need for that van? No, the van.
I junked it. I had to junk it. Yeah, the engine. The engine had gone out, yeah.
Well, it was due
to not knowing where this oil leak was coming from. Yeah. And I was doing a lot of driving, a lot of back and forth. You know, Grand Ballroom was one of the venues that I was using. So I would introduce young people to the owner, Mike Smith, to and you guys, the Grand Ballroom, Chicago is located. It's called the Grand Ballroom. There are other Grand Ballrooms, but the Grand Ballroom is located in Chicago, Illinois, 6351 South.
So now you're looking to replace that van, right?
I do need a new van, and so we're gonna be able to haul
how much
some materials.
How much do you need for the van? What's the ballpark figure that you need for the van?
Get a van. Some people can donate an actual vehicle. because I do have, they can get a tax write-off. So I would say, you know, about $2,000 I can get another used van. But, of course, you know, we don't need to buy anything new or anything. We want something modern. Uh-huh.
And you need a phone too, right?
I do need a phone. And it was interesting that she could not move.
A new phone would cost you about a thousand?
No. That was
a new good one.
Yeah. So I also am starting
All right. Well, keeping in line with what we were talking about to start the program, house hacking, it's like, say, the lady in Hawaii, or you can look on Airbnb. Okay. There are people that are renting out their backyards, so you can make money, too. Here's how you can get that money for both of us. If she rented out, she rents out a tent that she bought for less than $300, and she makes $28,000 a year. Now, there are other people that they just rent out. They don't even supply a tent. They just rent out the backyard for camping.
Uh-huh.
So if you don't have a backyard, if you know somebody who's got a backyard or some spare space or closet space, I think I posted on our Facebook page, somebody who makes $1,000 a month by renting out their couch.
The couch?
Couch.
You said the couch?
A couch. They have a spare couch. And they rent it out. Matter of fact, there is a website, and the website is called Couchsurfing. Couchsurfing, it's either couchsurfing.com or couchsurfing.org. That site is global, and there's over 14 million people. Now, there's a bunch of people there's a bunch of people that are couch surfing from friend to friend or neighbor to neighbor or relative to relative that, you know, they don't have a roof over their head themselves, so they couch surf. But they make $1,000 a month, renting out their couch.
Not one couch, right? Not just one couch.
No, a couch.
Well, you know, the way God is moving, I can't say that something like that is not real. ironically, when I was in Pennsylvania, I stayed at one of my brother's empty houses. He had a 10-year tenant that he needed to get out finally. So there's some cosmetic work that needs to be done, like either to deep shampoo the carpet, things like that. So,
I was thinking about Airbnb. All right. Well, you can go on Airbnb and find that too. You can. All right. Here's an experiment I want people to participate in. Anybody within the sound of my voice can go to Craigslist. Or Airbnb, but I would run it off Craigslist first, and put on there couch for rent, and then put your contact information. You can do that right now or whenever you get a chance, and then let me know how many people contact you from that. Now, if you're running out your couch at $50 a day, okay. That's $1,500 a month income. And more
somebody's
than likely, the people that you're going
to
get are people that just want to save some money, or they could be vacationers, they could be backpackers, or whatever. So that kind of money would come in. It's not going to come in from a regular, you know, once somebody that wants to be long-term. But we're talking about somebody that might be there for maybe a week. So you might be able to pump that out of three to four people, $1,500. That's just rent. Now, I didn't think of this idea. This is what I got. What I'm telling you is what I ran across, because last Friday we had a guy on, and, you know, So I'm going by that. But if you put in rent out couch on any search engine, just look at the articles that come back or the videos that come back and talk to those people. But I'm saying just as an experiment, you know, run a what they call it, a dummy ad, and see how many people contact you that will be willing to pay you to sleep on your couch.
Wow. Now, because my youngest son lives with me, they don't want anybody around me, and even if I were living alone, although they're my son, not my daddy, or my husband, I respect that protective instinct that they have. The thing is, the closet storage is, wow. Now, I would just
now you can rent, you can rent out your closet, too.
Yeah, let me see. Let me see. I was just looking at, well, I guess you wouldn't have someone who's like on a fixed income per se, maybe. So I'm trying, you know, I don't, my mindset is not to discriminate, but you want to be able to meet the goal. So, you know, maybe I
right.
could accommodate people who are on fixed incomes at a later date. But, you know, you can't help. And you
well,
can't help someone
be,
get the shore if you ain't at shore. You can't help somebody else. Well.
There might be people in your neighborhood that are paying for storage somewhere else that
mm-hmm.
they can store that same whatever it is in your home, and you can do it for a less expensive price.
That's what I was thinking as you were saying, because storage is pretty high. I went through a lot in Milwaukee. They were looking for a property manager. I'm going to spare you some of the details, but the main point about that is that they didn't have a property manager, and I was moving out of a unit that started off like 105 and then it shot up to 170-ish within a year. And I'm like, I did have some valuables in there, but that's an extra $200 a month when I could first of all downsize and put some of the things where my son is staying, you know, in Milwaukee. Because I had to keep the truck an additional day because there was no property manager to assign me a unit when I was, no. They had had a lock on my unit. Is that what it was? Some kind of way I had to keep the truck, so it cost me some money, had the truck an extra day. Nevertheless, I do have, because you know what? That is perfect. Now, even though I'm looking at this closet as being small, the space that size, I have two small closets. And one I certainly want because my son's just got the things in there. It's like there's not much in there. So he's in the room that's supposed to be for my daycare children, so my two grandchildren and the other little girl, my step-granddaughter. So the thing is, we could do that closet. We could do the closet thing for now in my space because
right.
I'm in an apartment. We could do the closet thing. Yeah, I like that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And then they have access
well,
to
actually,
their...
you can put an ad. You can put an ad online and then, you know, see what kind of inquiries now. Of course, if you have an ad with pictures of what the closet looks like, empty.
And the dimensions.
You know,
they would need to know what fits in there, like
yeah,
storage,
right, and the dimensions.
Storage facilities. What could
right.
fit in there?
And what you will allow, mm-hmm. and what will you allow to be put in there, and what you know what's not allowed. But just as
right.
a social experiment, just to see what kind of response you would get, and. Like I say, if it's let's say that person doing arithmetic on it, let's take the lady who gets $28,000 a month off of a tent she bought for less than $300. So that's a little bit over $2,300 a month. about $7 a day. That's for that.
So you said 110.
But like I said, what now? Here's what I've been doing since.
Because it's cheaper than a hotel. I will say that. Because
right.
I'm thinking, I'm like $50 a day, $1,500 a month. That's a lot of money, but
right.
it is less expensive
but
than
you're
a
not
hotel. Going
to be getting. Yeah, yeah, and it's what I would do is what I did all this past weekend is I went on Airbnb and I went on other rental sites, people renting out rooms, closets, and I was seeing, what they did. Now, like the model that I'm going to pick, because I rented out a carport for like $400
right.
a month.
I recall. Yeah.
So I'm thinking to myself, all right, $400, let me get the math right here. Okay, $400 a month times 12 months out of a year, that's $4,800 for a year. So the way I'm thinking now is let me find more places where I can put up carports where people can park because essentially, if I did that 100 times, that can get me an income of actually, to tell the truth, here's what I'm thinking. If I do that 219 more times, okay, for a total of, and anybody can count to 220. But if I do that 219 more times, I'll have an income of $1,056,000. I'm going to have to take on some partners to reach that. I'm all right with that. I'm all right with splitting the pie of $1,056,000 a year. Matter of fact, the $56,000 a year, I can split that up and have maybe at least two other people help me full time. So,
I'm excited about that because that's an amazing fundraiser to get the property
right. that's
that
what
I
said,
want.
That,
and, yeah.
Right. And see, right, everybody that's listening to this podcast, everybody is something that can make you $1 million a year plus income. All you have to end is something simple, no bells and whistles to it. Like I said, I rent it. I'm going to tell you how that happened to me. I didn't want to run out to people no more.
I don't think Mama Evelyn, she's on the line. I don't think she remembered to press number one to go into the host queue, so you don't know that she's there.
Okay.
So I apologize. She just texted me.
Wait a minute. Hold on, I got to get back to my studio real quick. But the point I'm making is anybody has done something where all you need to do is find out how to just keep on multiplying it. Now, you might have to take off. You might have to find somebody with an empty closet, an empty backyard, an empty bedroom. But you just keep on doing it. Let's see. Mama Evelyn. I think this could be her. 773-595. Your mic is open.
That's me.
Okay, we got
you. Hey, welcome.
Okay, Mom Evelyn, what's happening?
I was just listening. Reba, see if Mr. Shure and Lou Shure is still at Toyota on Western. You might
what's
be the, able to get him to donate you a van.
What's the name again? What's the name again
his
of the guy?
Lou Shure. He used to work with a lot of organizations in Inglewood doing stuff. He even used to give us cars to use in the Inglewood Back to School Parade.
I mean,
we had to give them back, but still, he would do it. So I would check with them. Because,
awesome.
He even had a program years ago, I don't know if people worked with him or not, where he was asking people to send him young men that wanted to learn. That used car lot over there?
Yeah.
He was asking people to send him young men that wanted to learn how to be, or women that wanted to learn how to be mechanics. And those
awesome.
That came, they gave them jobs over there.
Wow, nice.
But you know who would know if he's still involved is Pastor Appleberry on 65th and Halston. He would probably be able to tell you. And she is also a millionaire.
You know, I found some CDs. Somebody gave me a collection of different CDs with gospel music and movies and things like that. And I have some of her old CDs. From her ministry. I've met Dr. Appleberry as well. So, Brother LA, we're talking about Pastor Gwen Appleberry, who she graced us with her presence at one of Reclaiming Our Youth event in Chicago. And Mama Evelyn, again, for the audience, is the founder of that event. She's the coordinator of that event, Reclaiming Our Youth Day. It's going to be what day this year?
July 29th. Ain't that something how it's the same day as it was last year?
Awesome, yeah, because you do it Saturday, right?
Yes, it's on a Saturday, and it's totally and completely for Afro-descended children and vendors. It's about trying to get them to develop our own economic base in our community.
Awesome.
You heard about the new political organization that's coming out, didn't you? They're trying to organize.
I
think I sent you the thing about the orientation, and it's going to be the Afro-American Political Organization.
Yeah, they need to come up with another name. This Arab guy on TikTok said, how can you be two countries? Africa is a country,
because
America.
He has no intelligence.
So we're Afro-descended. Remember, you said that Afro descendants gives us our.
Let me explain something to you, so you won't be confused about that. The first country is the country of your birth.
Yes.
So when they say African Americans, they're lying. Now we can be American Africans, which means we were born in America, but we are the descendants of Africans. See, but that is another way to confuse our community by saying Afro-descendants. That's the reason that the World Court came up with that designation of Afro-descendant. Afro-descendant means that you are just a descendant of somebody that was born on the African continent.
Okay.
But you know what? And you know the reason they came up with that? See, y'all going to get me in more trouble. The reason that they came up with Afro-descendant, and I've been telling black folks to do this forever. Get you a paper map. Put all of the water out. Put the land back together. And it is only one continent, the African continent. And the reason that they are getting us to do Afro-descendant, that means everybody in the world is a descendant of the African continent. More confusion that they're going to. And all you got to do, if you think I'm kidding, go get you a paper map. Put the water out, put it back, put the pieces of land back together the way they go, and you will see.
But at one point you said when we're checking off the boxes, when they ask our ethnicity, you said, and when they have other, write in Afro-descendant. And that was actually probably about a year ago.
I do that because that's the closest thing to our original heritage.
Okay.
Because we are Afro-descendant.
So what about indigenous?
We are the indigenous people too. But we cannot get our people to stand on that. And that's the reason I keep telling us to get that map and do it, and then you will see the truth.
So indigenous
means you are the true people of the continent.
Okay, so that should be the name of the political party. What do you think, Brother L.A.?
It should be, but I don't have no control over that.
Well, we might
I'm
have to start a second.
I'm worried.
Huh?
Someone else did, Brother LA says he's listening in.
You know, do you know David Pruitt?
Well, I've heard, but for instance, I agree with her with the, if you take a map, you don't even have to cut out all the water, but I agree with 100%. The continents, if you I mean, you can look at a map and piece stuff together. South America fits into Africa. You know, so all that fits. So then we're getting back to Pangea. But some people don't buy Pangea. I buy it, but some people don't. But I do agree with you. If you cut, and then she does give food for thought that instead of saying African American, the more correct thing might be to say American African. But then when you said that, I was thinking, boy, that might cause more confusion within the reparations community, because you got some people within the reparations community that are ADOS, African descendants of slaves. So,
yeah.
And then something that Beasley has said on here several times, we got to get the identity straight first.
Yes, because we are the true indigenous people of this world. How do you think Hannibal was able to walk to all those countries that they now claim? You think he walked across the oceans?
No, he didn't walk across the ocean.
And that's all I'm trying to get people to look at what you got, what you know, and do the research. You know, they don't even talk about years ago, and I don't know if it's still happening, but years ago they used to talk about in Japan, all of the people of color were forced up into the mountains. I didn't even know they had mountains in Japan.
There they go.
Okay.
Well, since
Greece
since
used to be a black country,
Greece
used to be a black country. When Dr. Evans went over there, he said you could hardly find any black people over there, period. So where did they go? What happened to them? See, we
I got a question. Have any of you seen, since we're on race, have any of you seen on Netflix the docudrama, or documentary, Cleopatra, Jada Pinkett Smith's Cleopatra. Anybody seen that yet?
No, I haven't. Only thing I watched on them
Revis,
was that thing about the
yet?
Bible.
No, I haven't.
Okay. Yeah, it's running on Netflix now. Wait a minute. We got another caller here. 813, your mic is open.
Yeah, so those are some great... Hello, can you hear me? Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you.
So those are all wonderful ideals that you guys have. Another thing, too, that you can do is you can partner with other businesses to utilize and rent that space too. Airbnb also does experiences. And then there's a gentleman up here in the Seattle area, and lunchtime, he cooks barbecue every day, and then he delivers it the next day for lunch. He takes orders and then goes around and delivers the orders. Well, he's a veteran. There was a fire at his place. And so when somebody found out, somebody that has a really nice, large kitchen, it wasn't commercial, but it was large, and he had a lot of equipment in there. So he let him use his kitchen so that he could still cook and make deliveries. Okay. And now with Uber Eats and stuff like that, you can, and you get a Square account, you can work all that out and have them come deliver. You know, you don't have to hire delivery drivers or anything like that. And then both of you could make money.
Robin, Robin, what's the Square account? I've heard of it. Give us the details. What is
Square? It's a business banking, but it also has that supports you for shopping and stuff like that. They give you a website. They've got a whole lot of features on there.
Okay.
Yeah. That supports you in business. Well, so I've got a terminal.
With Reba wanting to organize the money to get a new van and a communication device.
Okay. And another thing too. While you're organizing or raising money to get that van, one of the ways that you can do that is somebody that has a van can partner with you to make the I'm thinking your case it's not deliveries, but you're delivering a product or a service,
right,
or something, right? Right?
Right.
And so someone that has a van can partner with you so that you can still conduct that business. And both of y'all can make money. And then guess what? That might be a better way, unless you need a personal vehicle, right? But that might be a cheaper way or more fruitful way instead of having to buy a vehicle. And you don't even have to lease one. You can partner with someone and then give them some of the proceeds off of what you're making.
Right. Well, your partnerships do work.
Yeah,
I do appreciate that, Robin, because I do have one of the youth and Black East Metropolis who has two cars just sitting up. He says they need a jump, both of them, and he drives his Expedition. However, I've been in Milwaukee. I'm like, okay, so I'm up here now. He did call. Devontae actually called in. Before Brother LA, he's the one who's doing the tax sales investing. So so he's got a couple of cars. He's like, well, I need you to help get one of my cars off the street. So we could go ahead and get that started because he really just wanted it off the street. But I could just go ahead and offer him, as you said, because my 22-year-old who lives with me, he wants to do Uber Eats and things like that. So we could do that.
Yep.
So I appreciate that insight, that suggestion. That's awesome. So we'll make that money really fast, too. I could probably still do the closet rental thing. However, that Uber Eats, my sons were making at least $250, $300 plus a day.
Yeah.
And they made tag teams. Yeah, my sons, well, we're in Milwaukee. They came up with a schedule. One would go out during the early hours of the day, and the other would go out in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I met a once when I called a Lyft. The wife, she worked the early a.m., and her husband worked in the afternoon. Now, I have a friend of mine. He just does airport runs, 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. And that 3-hour window, he pays all his bills.
Yeah.
3 a.m. to 6 a.m. But he does the airport runs. That's it.
Right. One of my Uber drivers explained that. I just took an Uber, and he explained that, you also drive people from the airport. Now, when he dropped me off the other day, he said he was going to make – oh, gosh, because I gave him the amount that I thought he was going to make. I don't know if it was 300. It was between 300 and 500 to drive someone from the airport to, like, a nearby suburb. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
So he said after that he'd be done for the day.
There's plenty of opportunity over there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's see. Let's take another call here real
resources.
Quick. All right, another caller here, area code 314. Your mic is open.
What's going on, L.A.?
This is Memorial Day, right? Memorial Day weekend. That's what's up. That's what's up today.
That's right. Salute.
I guess people are barbecuing or getting ready
to barbecue. Robin, where you been hiding at?
Oh, I haven't been hiding. I've been busy working, expanding my network. I created a network, and it's called I Am Streaming, and I've got 30 internet television channels and 15 radio stations. So I've been creating the apps for those, getting them in the App Store and Roku, and working on, you know, getting the programming for all of that and more.
Yeah, she has an app. Robert, what does a person do to need? I've got that, but for people that don't have that, what do they need to do to get the app?
Store.
What is the app?
You want to? Yeah,
you know,
I have
Robin,
an app.
Your app, what's your, I mean, how can they get your app?
Yeah, I'm telling. So in the Apple Store, you want to look for I Am Streaming, by I Am Streaming. In Android, you want to look for I Am Streaming by Robin Lynn. You can't miss it. And on Roku, you want to look for I Am Streaming Live. Yeah, so with the 30 channels, there's something for everyone. And the goal is to have 100 television stations, 100 radio stations, and 100 podcasts by the time I get done. So I'm not hiding. I'm working.
So how did that become profitable for you, Robin?
I run ads. Gonna run have advertising on there, on the channels. Mhm.
You gonna have advertising on the one app channel that contains all those?
There's 30. There's 30 channels. And so 30 stations, and so the commercials will run in between and during the programs. And it should be very lucrative.
Okay, well, that sounds great. I'd be interested to see what kind of streaming radio stations you have on. It seems like there's a lot of them today. Everybody has a... What do you call it on YouTube? Everybody wants to be a reporter or news.
Oh, yeah. So I am not a blogger. I am a broadcaster. I have an LLC, and it's a real network. So, you know, and so what I do is I broadcast or either rebroadcast other shows. Now, while I do host and interview myself, but that's not my focus. I'm above a blogger. I'm an actual broadcaster. Yeah. So there's a difference. But yeah, you're correct. Everybody wants to come on the news, but that doesn't make them a journalist. I actually have a press pass. I have credentials. And then I have a license for my business. So I actually am, I actually could go on and do a news podcast or a publication or whatever. So, you know, you want to be educated, and you really do want, and I'm glad that you said that, because we have to guard our thoughts. So as a man thinks, so is he. And there's so many people out there giving out so much information, and you have this fine line between news, truth, information, and entertainment. You know what I mean? So just be careful. Stay focused. Develop some goals. that pertain to you and your legacy, and then stay focused working on that. So that's my word of encouragement and motivation, spreading love to everybody.
Well, you know, I think there's a lot of information deserts out there. And so you have a lot of people coming up with news and or information where there's been a desert. Like, for instance, right now on Netflix, you got this Jada Pinkett Smith's Cleopatra. You know, there's a debate over that movie. Oh, excuse me, not movie. It's a documentary. Tiaka, you've been to Egypt before, haven't you?
Yeah, about nine years.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, you've been there. So did you get a chance to see the Netflix, Jada Pinkett Smith's documentary on Cleopatra yet?
I don't watch that. Me personally, and I know a lot of other people, we don't watch this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This thing about Cleopatra the Seventh was Persian. She was not Greek.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Tell the truth.
About seven different Cleopatras, and I believe that Cleopatra is a title rather than a name, because it's Cleopatra
like
this, Cleopatra that.
Like
Caesar.
Pharaoh, right?
Caesar. Caesar is a title. It's not the name. So the Persians, the Assyrians invaded Egypt early on, then the Persians, then the Greeks, then the Romans, then everybody else. So Cleopatra VII was, in Persia is present day Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Assyria is present day Syria. So no, she wasn't. You know, I don't know why people get into these. But I always did tell you, when you talk about races, blacks can be just as racist as anybody else. Racism has no respect for skin color, no respect for language. It's an act. And you can apply it. They can be just as racist and even worse than anybody else. And it's a motivating factor why people do things.
Well,
Cleopatra, it got her fired from. Facebook canceled her Red Table Talk.
Well, yeah.
I thought Red Table got canceled altogether, though.
That's what I'm saying. It was her her show. Mm-hmm. Red Table Talk was her show. And Cleopatra, that Cleopatra story is what got – they pulled the – they tried to silence her.
See, the people that presently
– go ahead, Pianchi, I'm listening.
The people that presently occupy Egypt today – is Egyptians. That's what they live in that land. I heard a lady talking earlier about Pangaea. That was over 400 million years. There wasn't no human beings 400 million years ago. Things were just now beginning to be. Matter of fact, you went through a period of primates before you came to what we call a modern human, and modern human is evolving too. So you had primates, apes, and gorillas.
Hmm.
So, Elon Musk is an African. And he was born there. Teresa Hines Carey, she was born there. She got white skin. You go up in the northern area where you got the Libyans, they not black. So people look the way they look because of the geographical area and region where they evolved at. Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the fact that Caesar was a title and Cleopatra was a title. I consider
Cleopatra,
that true because most
being
people don't bring
seven
that
of
up.
Them, Yeah, being that it was at least seven, they could have been looked at as a title. Matter of fact, Pangea is a Greek word.
Uh-huh.
To be an archaeologist, you have to, if you go over Egypt to get a permit to do dig, and that you have to show a demonstration or a degree in Latin, because many of the things that you're going to be running into is going to have Latin inscription on it, so you have to know how to speak Latin. L-A-T-I-N.
Interesting. Very interesting.
I got more out of that than I got out of the docu's, the Jada Smith production.
Well, like that picture with a black mermaid, there was no conception of no mermaid being, non-white, if you want to put it like that. Mermaids was objects that those seafarers put on the bow of their boats in order to calm the sea, because they were highly superstitious. When people set out to go across oceans, they didn't know where the hell they were going to end up there. And because the earth is curved, when you go out so far and you start going into the curvature of the earth, you disappear. And people think that they was ate up by dragons, serpents, or they fell off the edge of the earth.
Columbus didn't
know.
Right. They thought the world was flat at first.
They thought the world was flat, yes. And they couldn't understand. They couldn't get the conception of looking out on the ocean. Today, you can look out on the ocean and see that the world is, that the planetary that you're looking at is curved. It's not flat. But apparently, they just couldn't put that together. And going out on the ocean is a whole lot different than going out on a lake or a sea.
Oh, way.
The Africans didn't have no sea-going boats. They had canoes.
Oh, boy. So they get out there in vessels that can't handle the current, the tides, all of that, and they just,
out on the ocean, you can have, on rough seas, you can have some waves that is 30 and 40 and 50 feet tall. So that's going to cause havoc. And the closer you get up north, like what they call the North Sea, because of the influence of the rotation of the earth, it's going to be rougher out there than it would be at the equator. It's the same way if you were on one of those playground things where you go around in a circle.
Oh, yeah, that little thing where you run and it spins really fast. If you're on the outside of it, you're going to feel that force. Yeah.
Right. So you on the inside and you don't feel no effect. But get on the outside of it, it's, you damn near lose your head. Well, that's the same way it is with the rotation of the earth. The closer you get to the pole, the rougher the waters are. So if you got a canoe, you ain't going to survive out there. Canoes is good for rivers. And then the boats that the Egyptians had, they would go up the Nile River, down the Nile River, then sometimes they go out onto the Mediterranean. And then when people did go out on the ocean, they stayed close to the shore so they could see where the hell they was going. They didn't have no stop signs and stoplights out in the middle of the ocean, no street signs.
No, and no lighthouses.
No, they didn't have no lighthouses. You get down to the equator, it's pretty common. You know, if you get on a bathroom scale on the equator, you're going to weigh more than you would if you was up, say, in New Hampshire. because you're standing on a larger mass of the planet, and then the gravitational pull is going to cause you to weigh more. You go up to New Hampshire and Massachusetts and stand on a scale, you're going to weigh less. Up in Alaska, you have 6 months where it's always daylight. In the Antarctica, you have 6 months where it's always daylight. And when it's always daylight in Antarctica, that continent, it's 6 months of darkness up there in the North Pole. So we live here where we live. We ain't used to that, so we can't fathom or relate to it.
Well, I know when I was in Europe, the part of Europe I was in, it didn't get dark until 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, you're up in Washington State. What time does it get dark in Washington State in the this time of year, Robin?
Summertime, it's getting to be 9 o'clock, 9:30, sunset. Mm-hmm.
All right, yeah, you're further north.
Yeah.
Now, when you lived in Alaska, that's where you lived in Alaska for a while.
Yeah, I was stationed there.
But don't they give you a stipend every year when you live in Alaska because of the oil revenue? Robin?
Say that again.
The residents of Alaska get a stipend every year, maybe several times a year, because of the oil revenue.
Oh, yeah. I was stationed there, so I wasn't eligible to be a resident. I was stationed there on a remote tour, a 1 year assignment. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't there long enough to establish, you know, residency to be eligible. Yeah. You had to be there longer than a year for that. Mhm.
Well, see,
and
that's the thing. That is the thing. The federal government has no authority to come in states and dictate fees and licenses for the exploration, the extraction of resources, because that land belongs to the states.
Mm.
And if states was to enforce that the way they should, then those oil revenues, those fees, and that would go back to the states to be divided up amongst the citizens of the state.
Mm-hmm.
Even offshore oil well drilling within the left and right boundaries of the state as it goes out toward international waters, anything within international waters, those licensing should go to the state, not the federal government. And that's the move now to bring that back to where they call that the overreach of the federal government. And there's a movement to try to bring that back to where it's supposed to be. Just think if, for instance, they just issued a license as a oil exploration in Alaska called Willow, W-I-L-L-O-W. They all got their own name. And the businesses that's going to be participating in that has to pay a fee to the federal government. And the total amount of fees is going to be about $11 billion. Well, what if that $11 billion went back to the state of Alaska? What if the same sort of fees go back to the state of Louisiana or Texas and it's divided up amongst the people? Can you see how better off they would be?
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
So the federal government has too much overreach. They need to be curtailed and brought back into line. The federal government gets its powers from the state. Federal government really can't tell states to do nothing unless they agree to it. They can tell them to go pound sand. In the Constitution, it mentions about the federal government owning certain things, and that's it. They own ammunition depots, and they own forts. You remember the TV program called M Troop? It used to come up. Well, those are the type of forts that the federal government owned as they started to transverse the western region. So as settlers went through the western regions going out to California, they had forts set up because of the warrings and the attacks from Indians. So they had to protect the cities. And they would station soldiers in case there were some problems. So those are the forts that the federal government can own. Now, of course, things have changed a little bit where you got embassies and things like that. But those embassies should pay a fee to the state that they're located in and not taken on by the people of the state. So states have more power than the federal government. Matter of fact, federal government gets its power from the states. But y'all already knew that, right?
Well, a lot of people are probably more familiar with their local government than anything else. Well, it depends on
it's just like these. It's just like these illegals that's coming into the country. I mean, just think about one. You don't know if these kids have been inoculated, and you putting them in your public schools. They may not be inoculated for the inoculations that you required or asked for. You don't have to take them now. Your kids don't have to take them if you don't want them to take them before they go to school. So, mumps and measles, chicken pox.
So in Tacoma, there's a woman with an arrest warrant out. She won't get treatment for tuberculosis. At Children's Hospital, 12 people died from some mysterious illness that was not COVID, and there's a measles outbreak as well.
You have a bigger problem than that about the immigrants. According to governmental law, any immigrant coming here has to have a background check. They are not doing a background check on anybody that is coming in right now from Mexico, Puerto Rico. I can't remember the third and fourth. It's four different countries that they're allowing immigrants in, and they are not doing any background check. So you don't know if you got pedophile, rapists, murderers, thieves, any of that coming into the country. And they are talking about people, okay, residents who live here, we can't even require it of them because we are, what are they calling us, a city?
Sanctuary city.
Sanctuary city.
Sanctuary
well, that's because
city.
Your government allowed that.
We are not,
you got a mirror.
We are citizens. Okay, we are the people who pay all of the bills, the taxpayers. We can't even request it because they say it's an act of discrimination. But let you be from Liberia.
You can request it. All you got to do is.
That are coming from black countries.
Yeah, you can request it. You just recall that mayor and kick their butts out.
You know.
That's what you do.
Well, Lori Lightfoot is already gone.
That was one of the worst mayors I ever, but the one you got now is worse.
Well,
y'all going the wrong direction.
Let me just say this to you. And he is putting a lot of people in place that are doing street outreach already in the city of Chicago. Now we're going to have to figure out how we protect those people that he put in that we know are out here doing the work in our community.
Anytime he talk about he's going to tax businesses in order to make social change, that's what businesses run. They leave.
No. Well, the goal is supposed to be, and I ain't supposed to be giving y'all this information, but there are some meetings going on in the city of Chicago with certain aldermen that are trying to put in incubators to start, and they want to start with children because they have asked me to attend a couple of the meetings. They want to start teaching our children as young as 7 how to be business owners. Now,
yeah, but what
I think,
let me ask you a question.
I think when that becomes public, I think his life is going to be in danger in the city of Chicago.
Yeah, what good is businesses? You don't have no people to sell because people are fleeing. When you start talking about raising
I can't give you, let me just tell you this. I cannot give you the actual plan because of it would be breach of confidentiality before it's in place. But if it works, within 2 years, the Afro-descended, African-American, black community, whatever you want to call it, if we work with it as a people, within 2 years, we will have our own sustainable economic base. The only thing that will stop us would be us. So that's the only thing I can say about that. But I do know the city of Chicago. I've been here all my life. When it does become public, we're going to have to figure out a way to protect him because they're going to take him out. Plan that he
what
got.
You know, says, you've been talking.
Well, Chris, they said the Bible says we speak those things and be not as though they were. I wouldn't say that they're going to take him out. They'll try to take him out, but we know to protect the brother. Just protect him. Just do what you need to do.
No, we do
Muhammad,
to protect him.
Farrakhan, they could have put Farrakhan out a long time ago, right? They could have.
But his, people are protecting him.
There you go.
And see, and that's the mistake that we made with Harold Washington. We didn't put stuff in place to protect him.
No, what they've done, they ran Harold Washington in the ground. That's what they did. Like
oh, then those of us who were doing stuff with him, we know that he was poisoned with that sweet potato pie that he ate because that was the only food that he couldn't resist.
Yeah, well, there's always a reason. But I can remember Chicago going back to Richard Daley. And these things that people talk about happen, they just don't. Never happened. I mean, that ain't just Chicago. You look at any major urban city that has these Democrats and these Democratic-led black governments. I mean, that's just what happened. St. Louis.
Well, let me explain to you. Like I say, I've been here all my life. And with Daley, folks need to go back and look at his 19th, and I mean old Mayor Daley. They need to go back and look at his 1965 Model Cities plan and see if it ain't happened in the day. And the man been dead how many years? And they waited till most of us forgot about it and they didn't start doing it. That's the reason you see all of these vacant lots going down the main thoroughfares in the city of Chicago.
You know, you
it's
look at Detroit.
Those aldermen have agreed to sell out the community. In agreements with that plan that Harold Washington had back then.
You know, you look at Detroit, Bill Clinton at a Clinton Foundation Economic Forum said that they were going to use Syrian refugees to redevelop Detroit.
Okay.
In St. Louis, they brought in 80,000 Bosnians and put them in South St. Louis. They located in South St. Louis. Just recently, they brought in Afghan refugees, and they are headed toward an area called Chesterfield. Chesterfield is one of the richest zip codes in the country.
Okay.
Look at the outskirts of Detroit, like Dearborn. Those are Arabs. The Arabs built a whole, practically a country. They got mosques and their other entities. They developed tracks. Tracks is 40 blocks square, 40 blocks this way, 40 blocks that way, 40 blocks this way.
And they got a lockdown on basically gas stations, repair shops, and convenience stores.
7-Eleven.
Yep.
Okay.
7-Eleven is the Indians.
You see, they've been going after Jeanette Taylor.
Yeah.
You see, they've been going after Jeanette Taylor because she blocked the railroad from getting the land that Willie Cochran allowed them to steal. He sold people's houses for a dollar under eminent domain, over 400 of them. So they've been going after Jeanette Taylor because she's blocked them from getting, she, by the time she got elected, it was 200 left, and she blocked them from getting it in her ward. So, and I've been telling people, they've been trying to get rid of her because she's working with residents.
Well, you know, eminent domain can be used for public purposes. Now, when you're trying to use it for private businesses, that's a whole different story.
Huh?
I say when you try to use eminent domain for private businesses, that's different than if you're using it for public businesses. Like if you're going to build highways, like they did in New York, when they came down, they took public housing and everything else in order to build the present highways that run through New York. In his domain for public use.
He took those 400 houses for TSX Railroad. That's what he took for the railroad.
The railroad, the uses of the railroad would be for commerce. That would be a public project for the public good. Just like it was when the Transcontinental Railroad ran from Nebraska out to California.
Why were they only taken in the black community?
Well, it just that so happened where blacks were, but there's been cases where they've taken land was acquired no matter who was living there. Look at the Transcontinental Railroad that ran from Nebraska out to California.
Yeah, well, I think they should have sent Willie Cochran's butt to jail for theft.
But the major thing in those internet domains is that people get their fair value for the property that they have to depart from.
Not a one.
But then that's where your politics comes into play.
Not a one.
Man, that's a whole nother podcast. So look, this is Memorial Day. Everybody play it safe. Have a safe holiday. See you guys tomorrow.